Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this January 11th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Anna James, Regional Natural Resource Educator with UW-Madison. Looking forward to that. Right now, I've been looking forward to this all week, Sally. We have Sally Kistner with us, Executive Director of the Arts Council of Southwood County. Thanks for being here, Sally.
Thank you.
And as always, Sally brings us a great guest, and we've got Michael Knight joining us right now to talk about MJ the Illusion, Reliving the King of Pop. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate the time, Michael. I know how busy you must be. And also appreciate the fact that you are impersonating somebody with the same name, first name. It makes it really easy for guests, for hosts, you know, really easy for me. The time, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny. Everybody says the same thing. They go, yeah. What's your name? Michael. They go, come on, what's really your name?
I want to talk about your show. I want to talk about Michael Jackson a little bit with you. But before we get to any of that, let's get to know you a little bit first, sir.
Okay.
What can you tell us a little bit about your origin story, Michael? Where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, but I currently live in Branson, Missouri. I've been performing like Michael. I've been dancing like him since I was about 12 years old. Started off as just being a fan, trying to mimic his dance moves like everybody else. And my aunt saw me dancing outside, and she goes, you know, your uncle, he can do all that, like moonwalk and pop and lock. And I was like, no way. And I ended up calling him up, and he could have been a professional breakdancer. He was absolutely phenomenal. But that's kind of where my roots kind of began, from learning how to pop and lock and break. And then I kind of converted that into just strictly Michael Jackson.
I'm guessing that our stories may stop being parallel after this, Michael. But I got into acting when I was young, and I've been in radio for 22 years and been acting since I was a kid. And my first entertaining I ever did was breakdancing. Me and my friend Jamal, we got together, breakdanced, I was about 8-9 years old, and I was trying in my shoes to do the moonwalk, and I couldn't do it. I took them off, and I got it down, and then I put them on and started to be able to do it. To prep for the interview here, because I'm a professional interviewer, I tested myself to see if I could still moonwalk. Had to take the shoes off. I couldn't do it in my shoes. I was so disappointed in myself. I was mad.
I completely understand that. You know what's funny is whenever I teach somebody, you know, because a lot of people ask me all the time how to moonwalk and stuff, and I usually, during meet and greets, I'll usually show them and teach them. I always tell them to wear socks and practice one side first and then do the other side. Don't just try to just jump right into trying to do it, because it's, okay, so it's kind of like when you pat your head and rub your belly. Your subconscious, right, wants, because they think of what the visual aspects of the moonwalk is, and that's walking backwards but sliding back. So they slide back the bent leg, but if they did the complete opposite and slid back the straight leg, that is how the illusion works. Mm-hmm. As one leg slides back, your knee appears to be coming forward. But it's actually pretty good that you did it, and you would have to take your shoes off. I didn't get that freedom. My uncle taught me in a pair of Nikes on carpet.
Oh, you are good, sir. You are good. That is impressive. Yeah, that ain't easy.
I gotta tell you, in that medium, when you get it down and be able to still create the glide and still create the slide. Oh, man, when I was in high school, I was doing it on carpet, I was doing it on grass, I was doing it in the halls, and then that's actually how I got my nickname, Michael Jackson.
Nice. That leads me perfectly to why Michael Jackson. Now, certainly I think why it's understandable. The man had a multiple-decade career, billions of hits, king of pop. I mean, I could see, you know, certainly wanting to cover somebody like that with that body of work and everything. But again, why? Because it's all of the things I just said. There's an expectation there. There is quite the bar that you're looking to reach. What was it about Michael Jackson that you wanted to do a show like this?
You know, okay, so because people ask that you know, how I became a fan and all of that. You know, I kind of feel like Michael Jackson came into my life at the perfect time. It wasn't a thing that I got brought up where my family loved Michael Jackson or anything like that. In fact, you know, I was born in 85. So, you know, I'm a late 80s, 90s kid. Mm-hmm. And growing up, Michael Jackson was not the hip guy, you know, gangster rap was. Yeah. And following my big brother, who was on that same path, I started going towards that path because that was where him and his friends were going. And Michael Jackson, I was watching VH1, and I saw of Black or White, and it was weird because I didn't remember him looking like that. I remembered him looking like the Thriller, and I didn't know anything about him. And the next day, I went online and I started looking him up, and then I saw Motown 25, which was extremely pixelated, by the way, because this was before YouTube. And I was just mesmerized. I listened to him beatbox, and I went, "Oh my God, this guy is amazing!" So I put away my baggy jeans. I started dressing really nice, and I never looked back.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate that. Not only the transparency, but I feel like we're being transported back to that. It's very cool. It shows that you are quite a storyteller. You've been on the air with us for like 5-6 minutes now. We've been caught up in everything you've been saying, man. I imagine that you're able to transfer that on stage pretty well and give quite a show. How does your show – actually, I want to rewind for a second. How did you prep for playing Michael Jackson differently than some others did, at least from what I could see? You had a much different approach.
I did. I kind of went into it like everyone else. You have to learn about the industry. You have to learn about, you know, again, this is before YouTube, so you had to learn everything by books and videos and, you know, study. Again, I was the Michael Jackson kid in high school. I got best dancer in my school. Everyone knew me for my Michael Jackson. And I decided that I was going to do it. I saw a documentary in 2002 about a person doing a tribute to Michael Jackson. It was on VH1. And I went, "Oh my God, this is a job. I want to do this. Everybody thought it was nuts. And I can honestly say I saw that documentary in 2002. He worked for a company called Legends in Concert. In 2015, I joined that company. And I've been with that company for 8 years. So I did exactly what I said I was going to do. But besides that, I had to kind of like learn the ropes. I started doing different theater shows, performing like Michael. In 2012, I moved out of Rhode Island and started working with a whole management team. And then that got me mixed into doing a lot of stuff in L.A. and in Vegas. And then in 2013, I was contracted to work with Travis Payne and Stacey Walker. I worked with them for about a month straight, where they taught me everything about dance. I had to take ballet. I had to take jazz. I had to take hip-hop classes. On top of learning 13 or 14 different Michael Jackson routines, from They Don't Really Care About Us, the Scream, to the Drill, to all the stuff that they were going to do in This Is It. They pretty much taught me everything out of that entire catalog. And then once I was working with Travis, obviously that gets you set up with people in that general circle. So we ended up getting a hold of Seth Riggs. And Seth Riggs started personally training me on my voice to give me that real authentic Michael Jackson sound. And then I was doing shows for that. And then after that, that's when I got the message about Legends in Concert, and they asked me to audition. And then I auditioned, and then I was, next thing you know, I'm in Branson, Missouri doing their show for 6 months. So I would say that's kind of how my approach was. And I'm also the type of person that doesn't stop learning. I've had a lot of great mentors throughout the years, some sadly who passed away, but I was that eager kid who wanted to know everything. So I really dived into all of the makeup aspects, the wigs, the costuming, I was always asking questions. If I saw somebody that I thought was really good, I would message them and ask them everything and anything. And whatever kind of advice they could give, I would just study.
I love the way that it is a wording, the reliving of the King of Pop, because this is such a reliving of the King of Pop. This is really what you've done. You've really formed and gotten into the suit of Michael, into what it is to be him on stage. And that's really cool to see, especially I cannot encourage people enough to check out his work. You look up MJ the Illusion and you're going to see a lot of Michael's work. And we're going to play a sample of it for you during the interview today. Looking forward to being able to give that to the audience and looking forward to you coming to town here, Michael. I wanted to ask just a couple of really quick questions. I want to keep you too long. What was it like performing at the Rose Bowl? Michael performed at the 2018 Legendary Rose Bowl. What was that like?
Oh, man, that was surreal. The moment that made it really surreal is when I was singing, I want to say it was either Human Nature or I'll Be There, one of them, one of the ballads. Mm. I look out and I see 60,000 stars. Like, how do you describe 60,000 stars? Yeah. But, like, it was just one of those moments where you're just like, every time I hand to you. And you just look out and you just go, in your brain, you can't do this on stage. But in your brain, you're going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is insane. So to answer your question, it was amazing. The cast and crew there was fantastic. The band that I was working with at the time were phenomenal players. Some of them worked with Berlin. One of them was the guitar or piano player of the Goo Goo Dolls. It was a magical moment. It was cool.
Sounds like it. Michael, when people come to the show on January 25th, what can they expect?
Okay, so this show is so special to me and just in general. I wanted to do something different than you mostly see a lot of the tribute shows that you see. A lot of tribute shows, they want to make things bigger and bigger and bigger, which is beautiful. We simplified it. We made it the way Michael's show was. Mm. Michael had four dancers. Michael had LaBelle Smith Jr., Randall Allaire, Jamie King, and Eddie Garcia. Those are it. That's the only dancers Michael really had, at least in this particular tour. We recreated my favorite tour, which is the 1992 Dangerous Tour. Oh. It was the first concert that I used to watch back when I was like 12 years old, watching VH1 on their special MJ days. Mm-hmm. They used to play the Michael's Greatest TV Moment, the Live in Bucharest Dangerous Tour World Tour, and the Jackson's American Dream movie. Mm. And so this concert is very, very special to me. I love the fact that Thriller was all made with black light. It had magical illusion in it. The jam, everything, it just, the whole flow of the show. So what we did is we went in and not only got all of the choreography exactly to the Dangerous Tour, I contacted Travis Payne because he was one of the dancers on the Dangerous Tour in 1993. He sent over the complete broke-down version of Jam and then realized myself and the co-producer, which is my wife, we both looked at it and I said, you know, I think I like the 92 choreography better. Mm. And we ended up going over and breaking down the 92 choreography for Jam. It took us about a week straight breaking it down. We made each dancer personalized to one of Michael's dancers, meaning each dancer is dressed like one of Michael's dancers.
Wow.
Each dancer is exactly where one of Michael's dancers would be. We gave them, we said, okay, you're LaBelle Smith Jr. Watch this gentleman here. He's in the dark blue suit. And it things like that. And that's what really sets our show apart from anything else. And at the end of the day, it's about creating an illusion of Michael Jackson. That's why I like to refer to myself as an illusionist. Mm-hmm. Not so much an impersonator or a tribute artist.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, too, because Sally and I have been doing this together for quite a while. Sally, much longer than I have as far as like bringing acts like yourself to our town. And I've covered a lot of tribute or impersonators in that I've never, ever seen anybody like you, Michael. I've never seen anybody not only pull off what you do, but the detail. That's what I keep coming back to. And now talking to you, this is all adding up. It's all making sense. The dancers looked familiar to me. Like, I'm watching your stuff, and I'm like, wait, I remember that outfit. I remember this and that move and this and that. It shows, man. It really does. You guys really did your homework on this.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, this has been such a huge passion project. Some of the stuff that we really wanted to create was the magic, you know? Mm-hmm. I want that moment that makes people, that really gives you that escape. So I don't want to give too much away, but we have a lot of special moments in the show that really makes you go, wow. Mm. And that's something I'm really proud of.
Michael,
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off. I really apologize. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I was going to give one of the things away, like the 45 degree lean.
Oh, you do it? Oh, man.
Do the smooth criminal lean.
That's the greatest dance move ever. I think that's the greatest dance move ever, man. And I was going to ask you off air. I didn't want to put you on the spot with it. Oh, that is awesome, bro. That is awesome. That is really talented.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really cool illusion. Like I said, we went in. The great thing is about recreating a show that was from the 90s is that a lot of the effects are able to be made today, currently, that still gives it that timeless feel and that still that you still get all of that nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool.
But I love that part of it. And boy, if there's a handful of things that are rising in popularity, nostalgia is one of those. We love nostalgia nowadays. More and more. That's a great point to bring up. Michael, have you ever been to Wisconsin?
I have not.
All right.
I'm really, really excited. Yeah, I'm really excited. And I'll actually have a day or two to really, because I'm coming from Canada.
Mm.
So we're going from Canada straight there. So we'll actually have like a day or two to kind of hang out. So that'd be cool.
You're going to enjoy it, man. And we're going to enjoy having you to town. We're going to give you a great crowd and give you a great time here. Thank you so much for the time, Michael. We're going to actually play a little sample of your work now, and then we're going to talk to Sally and let you get back to your day. But thank you so much for the time, Michael.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me.
Mm. You take care, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Just gives people a little taste of what they're going to get with Michael Knight coming to town with MJ the Illusion, reliving the King of Pop. Sally, what are the details we can give people about this amazing show?
This amazing show is Thursday, January 25th at 7:30. Tickets are $44 for adults and $10 for students. That we have sold quite a few student tickets so far.
That's awesome.
So be sure you bring your students along with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can get these tickets either online at savorthearts.com, or you can call 715-424-2787 or stop by and see me at 1040 8th Street South, Suite 101 in Wisconsin Rapids. Our office hours are Monday through Thursday from 10 to 2:30.
And keep in mind, you're not only purchasing a ticket to an amazing show, you're also helping support the arts in our community, help Sally and the team over there be able to bring these acts to our town. You are supporting so much more than and just taking in a great show, which it is, at a wonderful facility. Does give me an opportunity to shout out Eric Brittenacher at the Performing Arts Center. Eric, usually with us for these interviews. A big thank you to him and all the work that him and his team does over there.
Mm-hmm.
And Sally, we've got a couple of minutes here to talk. When you first came across Michael, what was your impression, and how quickly did you reach out to his team to get him to town here?
Okay, so this is a story because we originally had somebody else booked through an agency.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up having surgery back in May and canceled their season. And I was kind of in a panic. Yeah. And the agent said, don't worry, we've got somebody, you know, we think you'll like at least as well as the other person. Mm-hmm. Well, when I saw his videos and his dancing is so amazing.
It is.
Everything about him and just learning that he had trained with Michael Jackson's peeps, it's... There was no question that we would replace it with him, and I am so excited, especially, you know, I get excited scheduling my shows, but once I talk to the people like this and hear them and get to know them a little bit, it really, I can't wait for a couple of weeks from today.
One of the things I love about you, I love about the Arts Council, is it's made up of community members, and once kind of the details and some of these things get taken care of, you become a fan just like the rest of us.
Right?
And you're just as excited as the rest of us, and you're you know, part of the community. You just cannot wait to take these acts in and be able to see them.
Exactly.
It's going to be a really fun show. This is a really nice one. This worked out really well, and a shout out to that agent doing a really smart move.
Exactly.
Not just leaving you hanging there and everything. That is a really cool thing. As a side note, does that happen often in that industry? I'm curious.
I wouldn't say often, but occasionally.
That's nice. I think
this is probably the second time something like this has happened in my 7.5 years here.
That's really smart on that agent, and thank you to them for doing that.
And another cool thing I have to mention that's happening, we have contacted Rapids School of Performing Arts. They are bringing 10 students who are in their competition team. They're going to work with this group, with the dancers, at 1 o'clock, the afternoon of the performance. They're going to learn part of Thriller, and they're going to come up on stage, kind of do their own thing for part of it, but then do some steps that they will have learned that afternoon. So for them to offer that kind of thing, we're super excited about it.
Gigantic thank you to them for that.
Yep.
That is beautiful. That's one of the best stories I've heard all day and will hear all day. Don't be surprised if you see some weird Italian hanging out in the background trying to impersonate those moves and everything. Oh my God, you said Thriller and immediately got all excited about that. That's so cool.
The kids are thrilled.
It's such a wonderful thing, his singing, his songwriting and all that and his production. We don't talk a lot about Michael Jackson's producing and his ear for sound, but the dancing. The dancing is so key to being able to do this and pull it off. It's cool to hear that for the students to get this kind of ability to pull in that knowledge from something like that.
Exactly.
And it again takes me back to Michael and the detail that him and his team did for something like this. I really appreciate him letting us look behind the curtain of all of that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We have other great acts coming up. I wanted to make a big shout out to Uptown coming out here in February. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a great show. That will be February 8th, Uptown from Humble Beginnings in Harlem, NYC. Uptown spreads their unique perspective on Motown soul classics to audiences all over the globe. We're looking forward to them coming to town.
Yep. Absolutely, and we have a dinner associated with that also, so contact the Arts Council for more info.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. And my mom and dad have been very excited about the act coming in March, and we have two acts coming in March.
Yes.
March 7th, How Sweet It Is, Steve Leslie sings James Taylor. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going to be excited for that one.
Right.
And also in March, just a couple days later, Always Olivia, an Olivia Newton-John tribute.
Yep.
Now, she was going to come with us before. Was she supposed to be here before and this is a rescheduling? Or I'm mixing her up with somebody else. I apologize. I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah.
We're very excited to have these two acts come in March and Uptown next month. Nice work on the schedule, Sally.
Thank you. Nice work on this.
If people want to find out more, how can they reach you, Sally? How can they find out more?
You can either go on to our website, savorthearts.com. There's lots of info there. Or give me a call, 715-424-2787.
We appreciate you so much. Say hi to your team for us, Eric and everybody.
I will.
We will talk again real soon. Thanks, Sally.
Thank you.
Find out more at savorthearts.com, savorthearts.com. And we'll be talking more about these shows as we get closer to them. We'll take a break and come back with more Midday Magazine on WFHR.